For the last 15 minutes, I've been hovering at this party, clutching my drink, a Manhattan, trying to act as if I were interested in the beads of condensation crawling down its beveled glass surface. Earlier, I'd attempted to infiltrate the nearest knot of people, but found myself largely unable to secure any purchase in the smooth waterfall of words. Every syllable I uttered ended up the same, an aborted reach, followed by a slide back down the conversational slope. 20 minutes before, I'd been rolling along the streets of Buckhead as they became wider and posher and leafier, navigating past Hummers and Land Rovers and various other luxury vehicles, until the huge home hosting tonight's event floated into view like a glowing mothership at the top of a hill. 10,000 watts of incandescent bulbs burned brightly against the night sky, illuminating a pair of cream-jacketed valets trying to wave me down. I ignored them. No one drives my truck except me. My truck. My truck is really an economy hatchback from which I've removed half of the back seat. This vehicle, which I've named Herman, has been with me for 12 years over multiple continents. So he doesn't exactly boast the latest technology. He also looks like ass, having sputtered through monsoons and deserts and, in the worst of times, literal wars. I've replaced and rotated his tires, changed his brake pads and calipers, swapped out his filters, substituted his belts and hoses and batteries, and flushed his radiator and transmission. There are more than 200,000 miles on this sucker, and there's no way I'm getting rid of him until the tragic day when he finally and irredeemably croaks. As always, driving him makes me happy. In the house, though, I've lost a bit of my composure. I can't control my fidgeting. Of its own accord, my body yearns toward the door. My foot taps, a relentless skittish beat. My face, too, is a failure. I can feel it, settling into the kind of gritted teeth smile produced by young kids who are being forced to pose. Part of this reaction is physical. Even though the room, a grand, high-ceilinged sweep of space, has been cleared of furniture, the air circulates poorly. Flames roar in a 10-foot-high fireplace, angering one end of the room, its mantle heaped with drying pine boughs and berry-encrusted twigs. The beribboned garland is clearly meant to invoke a festive Yuletide spirit, but in me, it produces a burning desire to figure out where the fire extinguishers are stored. Whoever decorated the mantle didn't hold back elsewhere either. Even without furniture, the room appears to have been fluffed by a herd of manic elves. There's red and green shit everywhere. Glass stars, hunks of mistletoe, human-sized nutcrackers standing sentinel in the corners, all of it somewhat shimmery from the radiance of the fire. But my discomfort stems not just from the ostentatious decoration, or from the oppressive warmth, or from the perfumed but acrid scent of other people surrounding me, shooting up my nose like a chemical weapons attack. It's not only the sound, the chittering and cackling of too many voices straining to make themselves heard. It's the bodies. Even if I close my eyes and block my ears, I can sense them. Mere feet from me. They span all directions, appropriating space, emitting sound waves and social urgency, and without a doubt, respiratory particles. A party, it should be obvious, is not my thing. By now, you've gleaned a few more facts about me, or you think you have. Socially awkward, you're thinking. Oversensitive. Insecure. Or maybe this. Too introspective. I feel the need to defend myself from your assumptions, even though they are logical. Despite my earlier warning, I'm actually good with people. My people, anyway. I like my people. I'm not a hermit or overwhelmed by sensory stimuli either. I can state without any exaggeration that I've endured some of the harshest conditions the planet has to offer. I'm just not great around a lot of people. Especially now.